Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. How many like the golf carts over in the parking lot bringing folks over? Everybody except Terry. Anyway, but he gets to drive one every week, so he likes it. But anyway, I appreciate we started doing that and had a need and mentioned it, and enough of you volunteered to give something extra every month and pay for that. And so anyway, I appreciate that. And seems like every time there's a need, God does raises somebody up to take care of that need, doesn't He? Doesn't He? Yes. Anybody here today? Yes. Okay. How many of you stayed home? A couple? All right. Oh, praise the Lord. We've been talking for several weeks now about hearing God and being led by the Spirit, and I kind of want to just follow that up a little bit today. And how many remember our charts? How many remember our charts? Matter of fact, why don't you put them up there? Put one up. And this, I honestly didn't intend to put this, I didn't intend to do this just but the first week, and it actually it took me more time to figure out how to send it to Keith on my cell phone than it did to put the whole thing together. But some of us are a little challenged in that area, but how many know we are three parts? We are a spirit, we have a soul, and we live in a body. Okay? Our spirit is how we contact or how we come in contact with the spirit realm, how we come in contact with God. Our soul is how we come in, we come in contact with our mental intellect, with our soul, our mind, our emotions. Our body, our physical body, is how we come in contact with the world, with our five senses, what we see. What we say, well, Hank, why are you saying that? Well, I'm saying that because a majority of us as Christians, we don't know. We think maybe we're being led by the Spirit, and we don't know that most of the time we're being led by our flesh, by our mind, by the unrenewed mind. And I'm even talking about those of us that are pretty spiritual. Okay, so I'm not just talking about the ones that maybe just got saved. And truth is, I remembered something. I probably... Go ahead and put the next one up there. I probably heard God more when I first got saved than I did in later years, because we start substituting all kinds of things for that. We all, you know, when you get saved, man, you just got to hear God, and God draws you, and you hear that, and you just got to, you're wanting Him, and after a while, you know, we let church and we let different things move in our life, and sometimes, you know, God gets to blessing us, and we don't have to ask Him for His blessings as much, and sometimes we just get sidetracked. But I believe we're coming into a place right now where, and I'm just showing you this because I do have some copies of this down here. I've been watching some of you take pictures of it on the screen and try to scribble it down, but we do have some copies of this down here if you want to get one after service, okay? But our spirit, we are a spirit, we live in a body, and we have a soul. In our spirit is where we feel emptiness, hopelessness, futility, lostness, loneliness. That's where those emotions are. That's where those feelings are, and if you think about it, that's the very void that's in every person that only Jesus is able to fill up. He's the only one that's able to fix that void spot in there and give you that. So oftentimes we try to do things with our mind. We think of ways that we won't be lonely, or we think of ways that we can give ourselves self-worth. I mean, if I've got more education, if I've got more, you know, if I can make more money, if I've got more friends, and we think of things and we do things with our physical part to try to satisfy those things in our soul or in our spirit, and we always come up short. This is why. Because you can never work for what God's already given you. And when we try to do that, when we make an effort to do that, we always fall short, because you can't ever do enough. Huh? How many ever tried to, if I read my Bible enough, if I pray enough, if I witness to people enough, if I go to church enough, if I give enough, and all those things are important, but this thing isn't based on what we can do. Our life with God is based on what He already did for us. Okay? And then our soul is where we feel mental anguish, emotional instability, paralysis of our will. That's where fear resides, an unrenewed mind is terrible, because an unrenewed mind will lead you, and you'll think it's a good idea, and you'll think it's God. But if you haven't renewed it with the Word and with fellowship with God, 9 times out of 10 you'll hit it some. You'll make a right decision some times. But see, God wants to lead us all the time. He wants to lead us in every area of our life. And I didn't even mean to take this much time on this. I need to get going here. But our spirit, the Holy Spirit talks to our spirit, and our spirit talks to us. Okay? So when you hear God, most of the time when you're hearing God say something, His Holy Spirit is saying something to your spirit, and your mind, your spirit's saying that to your mind, and your mind's picking it up. Can you see how we can get stuff real messed up if we're not really hearing God? And our physical body will tell us things in the senses. It'll send signals to the soul too. The way it's supposed to work is, well, our physical senses will tell us something's wrong. It'll cause, you know, it, we'll pick up fear, we'll pick up the troubles, we'll pick up the problems, and it shoots those messages to our mind, and then an unrenewed mind, we just go to pieces. We just don't know how to handle it. We operate in fear, we operate in worry, we operate in all those areas. And all the time our spirit is trying to talk to us. Our spirit is the part that gets reborn, gets made new when we get saved. And it seems that our body, our physical, our flesh, and our spirit are always in competition for our soul, for our mind, our soul. Because see, whatever you think, what did Proverbs say? As a person thinks in their heart, that's the way they'll be. So if he can get you to think, so that's how the enemy comes. So if you want a copy of this, come down and get one after service, some right there. But that's just an elementary little thing there, and you can go ahead and take it down. That's just a little simple thing. It's not something written on stone from heaven, okay? But once we begin to think that way and begin to realize that, then we start picking up. Just since I've been studying this, and I thought I knew what I was going to talk about, and I'm finding out that I really did just knew a little bit of it. But as you think about that, and you think about it, hold it now, is this my flesh wanting to do this? Is this just something that's a good idea in my mind? Or is this something really you're saying, God? Because God wants to lead us by His Spirit. That's why we were designed. The way this is supposed to work, God's Spirit, Holy Spirit, talks to our spirit. Our spirit talks to a renewed mind. And our mind tells our body what to do. That's pretty powerful, because if you ever get your mind renewed on health, if you ever get your mind renewed on health, every time the physical senses try to come to you and tell you sickness and you got this or you got that, or you know, and there's no shortages of names out there. Somebody texted me a name the other day. If somebody went in the hospital and they texted me a name, and I just text back and I said, I don't know what that name is, but I do know what this name is. And his name's Jesus. I mean, don't describe to me what that name is. I don't want to know, because I know what Jesus is. Oh, but Hank, you're not facing reality. Well, I know reality will get me sometimes, but the truth will always set me free. Now, if you don't know, I'm just trying to talk, and I'm just trying to put this in plain English, plain things so we can understand it. You know, this is the biggest problem, I believe, in Christianity today. We're all preaching sermons and doing teachings, and nobody can understand what we're saying unless they've been saved for a few years and know all the Bible talk and all the Bible verbiage, the slang, the you know, are you understanding what I'm saying? Because I caught myself. See, I'm called to reach people. I have an anointing on me to get people saved. I said this last week, and I had to apologize because God had told me to do it the week before. And me, you know, I didn't want to be. I thought being humble is being backwards and not really pushing yourself and not really, you know. But when God got on me that week and said, "No, you say it." Well, see, I have an anointing on me for people to get saved, and I began to know, and you've got that anointing too, by the way. But as I began to notice, I began to talk to people out here that were unchurched people, and I began to talk to them, and I found out I was talking one way in here and trying to talk a different way out there. And God says, "Why don't you just talk right? Won't you just talk right?" And so if we're not careful, we think we got to talk one way to please God, and then we got to talk one way to get the heathens in, to get the sinners in. Hold it, you know, we're all heathens if this boils right down to it. None of us deserve what we got. None of us deserve this price Jesus paid for us, but we've got it because we received it by faith. It was the grace of God, and we received it by faith. Glory to God. And you know what that means? That means I'm going to go to heaven even if I don't get everything just right. And so are you. So are you. That doesn't mean I'm not going to be trying to get things right. But I don't know about you, but I'm finding out the more things that I finally get right, I got more things left to get right than I did when I started. It just kind of mushrooms on you, you know. But that's okay, because I'm enjoying the trip now. Enjoying the trip. But God wants to lead us. See, He wants to lead us into this. I want to read you out of Romans chapter 8. He wants to lead us, not just once in a while. He wants to lead us all the time. And that's what I'm trying to do. If you don't get anything else, just look at this and get this principle in your mind. I am a spirit. I live in a body, and I have a soul. And the soul is housed in the brain and the intellect and all that. And if you begin to understand that, then you begin to understand, whoa, if my spirit gets to the right place, everything, and I renew my mind, my body will come in line with it. Now see now if you hear this through the devil's voice, through the devil's explanation of that, when you get sick, you'll feel guilty. You'll feel bad. You say, "Well, yeah, but he's talking about being healed, and I got sick, and yeah, he's talking about being blessed financially. And look, and I don't have nothing." And hold it, no, that should just excite you more, because you're a work in progress. It should just excite you more because you say, "Hey, God, he got me this time, but if you'll help me, if you'll speak to me, if you'll lead me into the truth about this thing, he won't get me next time." Does that make sense to you? See, I'm saying about everything I thought I was going to say. I'm just not getting it in the right order here, you know. But is it making sense to you? Not the right order. I'm just not getting it in the order I thought I was going to get it in. How about that? But let me just read you out of Romans chapter 8 here. And I've read this for a few weeks. But it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you didn't receive a spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received a spirit of adoption, whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself, the Holy Spirit Himself, the Spirit of God Himself bears witness with our spirits," what did I just say a while ago, "that we are the children of God. And if children, He also then bears witness with our spirit. He bears witness with us that we are heirs. And not just heirs, but heirs of God." Okay, not just an heir of God, but he goes on to, he's trying to show us the depth of this thing. Not just an heir of God, but a joint heir with Christ. "And if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together with him." And I'm going to say this, you don't have to wait till to get to heaven to be glorified with him. He wants to start the process in your life right now. So he wants to lead us. So what's he trying to do in our spirit? Why do we want to renew our mind? Just so I know more, so I can quote scriptures to you, so you can go, man, he just up there and he quoted 18 scriptures and never looked down at his paper. I've done that before, and I've had people say that before. Now I just can't remember that long. But, you know, no. He says, renew. He tells us to renew our mind. In other words, what he told Joshua in the first chapter, and he said, take this book or take my words and meditate in them day and night. Don't stray one way or the other. Meditate in them day and night. Put them in there, and don't let them come out of your mouth. You know what? I always thought, well, that means don't say it. No, he's saying, don't stop saying what God says. I don't have time to look that verse up and read it to you, but he says, don't let it come out of your mouth, or don't let your mouth stop saying what God says. Just keep putting it in there, and you'll cause your way to be prosperous, and you'll have good success. Because folks, the Word of God will work every time. It'll work every time. Now, since I'm there, so what do we do in the flesh? What does our mind think is a good idea? Okay, what my mind thinks is a good idea, since I just said that, okay, I go home, I don't look at anything else but the Word. I go home, I don't turn TV on, I don't watch Knicks, I don't watch anything else, I just get in the Word, and that's good if you can do that, but most of us can't do that. I don't know, sometimes I get in the Word and I start reading, and sometimes I'll read two or three chapters and I'll be thinking about a little bird out here tweeting or something. Or I'll be thinking, or my mind will go somewhere else. I'll read one verse and my mind will go somewhere and I'll just keep on engaged and keep on reading. And I'll look and I'll go, well, God, I read that whole chapter and I don't even know what you said. And oh, and what our mind tells us to do is okay, then pray without ceasing. Just get down there and pray for 5 hours. And just, hey, I praise God. Some people are called to that kind of prayer and can do it. But you know what? I'm not able to do it yet. Let me just say it that way. But I know how to pray without ceasing because I'm just talking to my Father all the time. And I'm just trying to hear Him all the time. You see, He's trying to lead me by His Spirit. He's trying to lead me into all the truth He has for me. He's trying to guide my life in the direction that He wants it to go so I can end up where He knows I'm supposed to end up. And so my mind, it's a good idea to pray. And then when I come up short, I'm under condemnation because of it. Well, I didn't read enough. I was going to pray. I promised God I'd pray 3 hours every day this week. How many ever made God a promise and then wasn't able to keep it? You're just the honest ones. Okay, yeah, you're just the honest ones. That isn't he isn't after that. He isn't after that flesh and that man. He's after that want to, that will. He's after that, God, I want you more than anything. And you know what happens? You start seeing this, or you start hearing this message, or you start reading this verse, or you start getting this chapter a little bit, and you start thinking about it. And then pretty soon you're reading this, but then pretty soon you turned on the TV and you're watching something that always looked good to you, but it doesn't look as good. You get to thinking about that verse you read, and so you just turn it off and you go back to that word, and you see this is something that grows on you. Let me just say something. It's okay to be you. God didn't make you to be like me, thank goodness. And He didn't make me to be like you, thank goodness. And He didn't make any of us to be like somebody that we think spiritual, somebody that we think's further down the line than us. No, He made you to be you. And you're the one that has to hear it. It doesn't do you any good if I'm hearing the voice of God. You got to hear it. Because He's got something He'll tell you that He probably won't tell me. He's got something for you that you can do that I can't do. He's got a direction for your life that's different than the direction for my life. If we were all going the same direction, we'd just all run into the same wall. But we're all working in a different direction, see? We're all, he's orchestrating us. He's got something just for you, just for your life, a direction for you. And when you're going that direction and when He's doing that in you, you're fulfilled. Folks, it's just time for us just to stop trying to be Kenneth Copeland or Keith Moore or any whoever one of your heroes are. Why don't you just be you? It's okay to want to be more like them, and it's okay to want to be more. And see, that's the whole thing that does this, is His Spirit's leading us. What is He doing? He said, "If we're led His Spirit, we're the sons of God." I mean, see, you understand where the Holy Spirit's trying to lead us? He's trying to. And they move my clock on me. Oh, that's why, because it'll fall down. Okay, I'm not going to keep you all late today. I'm not going to make you stay. I'm not going to punish you for coming today. Okay. He wants to lead us into a closer relationship with Daddy. That's the whole thing. He wants to lead us into that relationship with our Father. Huh? I said He wants to lead us into that place with God that we can. What did Jesus say? We've been reading John 14, 15, and 16. What did He say? The whole thing He's saying is, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. To what? To heaven? He didn't say that. He is. He's the only way. But He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What does He start off saying? I'm going to secure you a place. I'm going to prepare you a place with Father. And I'm going, and I'm going to come back and take you to that place with Father. But He says, I'm the only way you can get there. And then He starts saying about, He starts describing where. What where is. Because he says in there, they said, we don't even know the Father. Who is? Show us the Father. And He said, hold it. All this time you've been walking with me and you don't recognize the Father? He says, everything I do, it's not me that does it, but it's the Father that dwells in me that does the work. Do you see what He's saying? He's saying, I'm the way, I'm the only way you can get there. Where? To Father. Well, why are we going to Father? So you can be just like me, so you can do the works that I do, only you'll not only be able to do these works, you'll be able to do greater works than these, because I'm going and I'm going to send one back. He's going to get you there. keep that little structure in your mind, and then those three chapters will make a lot of sense to you. He spent three chapters telling us about the one he was going to send back, the spirit of him, the spirit of his father, the spirit that was going to lead us into that relationship, that secret place of the Most High, where everything in our life is taken care of. And then he goes to the cross, he dies, he goes into hell. He comes up out of hell. Hell can't hold him. While he's there, Colossians tells us that he defeated the enemy and all his angels, made a show of him openly. Says he translated us or transferred us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. He went and took care of everything the devil had to offer. He just went and whooped him. That's just a good old Southern Missouri word. He whooped him. Okay? But then what did he tell us? After he did all that, he came back, he got his body, he went up to the Father, he put his blood on the throne for us, put his blood on the mercy seat for us, and came back down. And then what did he say? He said, go to Jerusalem and tarry until you get the Holy Ghost. See, he wants to lead us and guide us. I need to talk about the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to do it too much right. Well, I have been, but I just need to talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. Because we're acting like he's an it. We're acting like he's tongues. We're acting like he's something spooky. We're acting like just because we've seen folks that said they were filled with the Spirit and probably were, but because they went to emotions, got emotionally and went and did things that embarrassed folks, that then they think, well, you know, all that tongues and stuff, that's not for me. Let me tell you something. You need the Holy Spirit. You can't survive without the Holy Spirit. Everybody in here, say something with me. Father, everybody's not saying that. I'm going to stay right here till you say it. Say, Father. Father. Some of you didn't say it. Say, Father. Father. See, I'm just acting like I can see all the way back there. See? Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Now say it again. Father. Father. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. See, some of you said, no, I've already been filled with the Spirit. I don't need to say. No, you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit every day. Yeah. Every day. Say, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Is that your desire? Is it? Then I want you to say that every day to Him this week. Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. What's that mean, Hank? Well, what's that mean? Is he going to take me over? Is he going to do so? No, just do it and let him show you what that means. He doesn't need me to explain what he does. Huh? Do you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? So I don't know about that tongues. I didn't ask. I didn't say pray that you'll talk in tongues. I said pray that you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, you have not because you ask not. He said, if your Father, if you being natural know how to give good things to your children, how much more will your Father, which is in heaven, give you the Holy Spirit if you ask Him? That's in your book. You need the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to go there now, but you need the language too. You need to be able to communicate with Him. And I'll be happy to talk with you. Anybody that wants to talk about that, I'll be happy to talk with you. Just not right after I get done here, but you know, you need that communication. Okay? But He wants to be led. He wants to lead us into that place, that relationship with God. He wants to lead us into the place where we know we're children of God. It says He'll bear witness with our spirit that we, you know, I said all that to say this. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to ask Him to fill you, afraid of what might happen. He's a gentleman. He will never make us do anything. If he was going to make us do anything, yes, give him some praise. Or give him a clap. He doesn't like us to praise him, but give him some clap. I praise him anyway, you know. If he were going to make us do anything, he would make every one of us get saved. So sometimes I just ask God for something. I say, now God, I want this. I want to go this direction. But I don't do it too fast. Because I don't know if I can handle it too fast. I want to change this, God. But now come on, be easy with me. And you know what? He's always easy with you. Until you don't listen to him. But he's always easy with you. He's always kind. Anyway. He says that he'll witness that we're heirs and that we're children, that we're heirs. You know, see what the Holy Spirit's trying to lead us into a place with God is a place to where we realize we belong to him. Do you know how many Christians, and maybe some of you here today, maybe some of you listening to this on the broadcast, have asked Jesus into their heart? But still go around most of their life thinking they're not right with God? Huh? I've asked him into my heart, but I'm a rotten, I'm just not good. I'm just, you know, because of things in the flesh and things in the mind, and that's the battle Paul talks about. We'll talk about that a different time. He's talking about the way the mind, the flesh fights the spirit, and you know, you'd be surprised how many people go, well, I've asked Jesus into my heart. I'm saved, but boy, I'm sure not right with God. Hold it. How much righter can you get with God than to receive the spotless price he paid and apply that to your life and let him create your spirit in you new? You're born again. He puts, because of what Jesus did, he takes you out of the kingdom of darkness and puts you into the kingdom of his dear son. And I mean, how much gooder, how much he makes you in right standing with him, not because you acted right or talked right or thought right, but because Jesus did. But now where's the battle? What's going on? The battle's here and the battle's the flesh and the battle's all this other nonsense. See, and what the Holy Spirit's trying to do is bring us in to that revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus. And you know what I'm learning to do? Mardell got on me. She said, because you're always telling people you don't know anything. You're always telling people, you know, how dumb you are. And she says, you're not dumb. Quit telling that. And I thought, well, yeah, you're saying that, but if I start telling people, man, I'm smart, God's done this, then you'll think I've got, then you'll think I'm arrogant. So, I mean, you got me in a box. I don't know which way to go, you know. But God wants you to know. Yes, without him, we're nothing. Without him, we're nothing. But we're not without him. Huh? I can't do anything without him, but I'm not without him. So that must mean I can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you see where the Holy Spirit's trying to take us? He's trying to take us into that. Realize, Hank, you're a joint heir. When you turn that light switch on and that part of you goes in there, goes, ooh, come on now, turn the lights off when you're not using them because, you know, we'll use too much electricity and the bill will be too... Hold it! Now, I think you ought to be frugal and you ought to be good stewards and all the rest of that. But even if your bill is high, God's not going to run out of money. See, you understand what I'm saying? I'm saying we let our mind and our flesh stop us. Let me read you a story. First off, where is the battle? And I'm going to do this real quick, and then I'm just going to quit. How about that? Man, I had so much good stuff for y'all today. 2 Corinthians 10 tells us the war and how it's played. Okay? Says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. You understand what he's saying there? How many of you walk in the flesh? All of us do. We walk in the natural world. We're flesh and bone. We walk in the natural world. But what he's saying here is, he says, even though you do that, we don't war the same way. You can't, with God, you don't war that way. You don't war with the flesh. He said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but they're mighty in God, and they're to pull down strongholds. Now I'm gonna say this. The only trouble you're having in this life is some strongholds. Where are the strongholds at? Well, let's read and find out. How do you do this? What are our weapons? He says, cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And be ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Do you understand what he's saying here? How is the devil going to get us if he gets us? Huh? Now remember, the flesh is the body, but remember, the flesh has a tendency to pick up everything from the five senses. And so we're he gets us by letting us see situations, or letting us be in situations, or letting things. However many ever thought something was going to happen, and it was so terrible, and you got so scared, and you were so uptight, and you were so worried, and you just prayed, God, don't let this happen. Oh God, don't do it. Oh God, don't. And you're so worried. And then when it came around time for it to happen, it didn't even happen. How many people, just since the tornado, every time there's a storm, how many know that especially, hey, if you were in a bathtub and came out of the bathtub and all your house was gone, you know, that's a pretty good reason to get worried and scared, isn't it? But you got to cast down those imaginations. See, the enemy's always there to tell you why you can't. He's always there to tell you what you don't have. He's always there to tell you your limitations. He's always there to tell you, stop, just give up. Why don't you just quit? But the Spirit of God's always there trying to tell you the exact opposite, because that's what His Word says. You can do it, Hank. You can do it. Come on, get up. If you don't get up, nobody else will get up. Come on, you gotta go. You gotta do this. You gotta go for it. And how does he get us to slow down? How does he get us to stop? He just gets these strongholds. And you're not going to know the knowledge of God if you don't spend some time in the Word. And I'm going to say this, you can spend time in the Word and still not know what God's saying. Because if you don't mix it with revelation from God, it'll just be a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. It'll be religion to you, and we can't live under religion. We can't live it. Man, I can't live rules and regulations, and I tried, and part of me still tries to do that sometimes, but I can't live that, man. I've got to have revelation. And people say, well, I wish I'd get some revelation. Hold it. Let me redefine that for you. Revelation is simply relationship. As I spend time with Daddy, He reveals more of Himself to me. Right. Is this plain enough so we can understand it? quit all the spiritual words and ideas. Men, take those and don't throw them away, but just push them over to the side for a little bit, because you've been trying all your Christian life to live up to those things and it hadn't worked. You're still coming up short. Just push all that stuff and just say, God, I just need You. Daddy, I just need to find that secret place with You. And you know what? I have a secret place that You can't go. You have a secret place that I can't go. Because it all boils down to one-on-one, baby. One-on-one. Me and my Jesus. Me and my Father. And the whole world can just go to hell, and I'm still okay because I'm with Daddy. How many know it's going there? How many know if you want to look at the winds, the storms are there. If you want to look at the winds, man, you won't walk on the water. But man, if you keep your eyes on Jesus, you'll just walk right through all those storms. Well, cast them down. All and listen, man, if you got a stronghold, how many know it doesn't do any good for somebody? Your fear is the faith the devil uses. Faith is what God uses. Fear is his counterfeit for faith. Because anytime he can get you to worry or to fear, you're not trusting God. Faith is just simply, I trust God. I believe in God. I believe you're able, God. I believe you taking care of this, Father. So where's the battle at? Our flesh and our mind. And listen, you got a stronghold. And when it's really a stronghold, somebody can't just come up to you and say, don't you know you're not supposed to fear? Huh? When I'm scared to death over something, somebody comes up, I just want to pop them one. I don't, but I want to. Well, just quit fearing. That's why it's called a stronghold. But what I've learned about how to get those chains broke is I exercise my will. I say, Father, I don't want to fear anymore. I don't want to worry about this anymore. I'm making a choice. Then he starts helping me on the journey. Huh? He starts helping me on the journey. See, I can't forgive you in the physical. Now, you didn't do nothing to me, so don't get under condemnation, okay? I can't forgive with my physical. I can't forgive with my mind. I have to forgive with my spirit. I have to make a choice. And when I make a choice, then the ministering spirits come to aid me. Then God comes to help me with that decision. And I can forgive. But what does my mind want to do and what does my flesh want to do? It wants to get even. It wants to hold a grudge. It wants to, you know, well, okay, I forgive, but I won't forget. Well, no, you still got some work to do. Huh? I mean, how many believe God forgave you of all your sins in the past? Is that all? How many believe that God forgave you of all your sins in the past? Okay, that's better. That's better. How would you like him to say, well, now I forgive you of all those, but I'm not going to forget them. No, he said he just separated us from them. Let me read this and then I promise I'll quit. How's this thing work? I just saw this story and it just made so much sense in Luke. Luke chapter 5. Man, I got so many things wrote in my book, and I've even had to now start taking white out and go over the things in my, you know, that I've written that I don't remember what they meant, and so I'm whiting them out, and some of my pages are that thick. You have me know what I mean? And how many know when you get all that white out on there and then the pages stick together? Come on, am I talking to anybody? You know, and so I found out, just put a little bit of powder on your finger and rub it over that white out, and then the pages don't stick together anymore. See? See, you're getting wisdom today. You're getting wisdom. In Luke chapter 5, there's a story. We all know the story. It's the story of where Jesus was preaching, and they brought the man that was crippled. He was on a bed, and they were going to bring him in, and they couldn't bring him in, and so they cut a hole in the roof, and they dropped him down through the roof. How many know the story? Okay, but let me read you this, because I just want to show you something here. In verse 17, it says, now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers. Everybody say Pharisees and teachers. Pharisees and teachers, bad. Woo. Okay? Okay, anyway. There were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town in Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal him. Now, I never saw this. I'm going to read, say, I want to get this verse and I want to get 21. I never saw this before. It says there were certain Pharisees and teachers sitting there from every city around. And then he says, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Did you get that? The Pharisees and the teachers were there. And the power of the Lord was there to heal the Pharisees and the teachers. Now we know the story, and I want to do 21, but I'll just go ahead. And behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, who had sought to be brought in and laid before him. And when they could not find how to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down on his bed through the tiling in the midst of the before Jesus. They let him down through the roof. And it says, and when he saw their faith, he said to him, man, your sins are forgiven you. And verse 21 says, and the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? And Jesus perceived what they were thinking, and he said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins be forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? So that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he says to you, rise up and walk. And the man got up and got healed. Now, I don't want to confuse the issue. Cause I'll come back to those two words there. But did you ever notice that whenever Jesus always compared sin and healing together? Did you know that truthfully, if we taught it right from day one, none of us would be sick, because sickness and sin went together. And when Jesus healed them, when he forgave their sins, they were healed. When he healed them, their sins were forgiven. There wasn't any difference. And I've always been puzzled by that, mainly because that isn't the way we believe. But that's why it doesn't happen in our life. But the Holy Spirit told me something this morning, I think. There was no sickness until sin came. Okay? There was no sickness in the earth till sin came. People didn't die before sin came. And so Jesus came back to take care of sin. So therefore, if he took care of sin, sickness is trespassing. Well, let that sink in. But this is what I wanted to get to now. Just let that sink in. The Holy Spirit will be working that in you all week, okay? Matter of fact, somebody will be healed because you'll get a revelation of this if you just spend time with Daddy. You'll get a revelation, and pretty soon you'll check and you'll go, well, it doesn't hurt anymore. I thought I was getting it, and now it's gone. My heart isn't fluttering anymore. I don't have whatever that name is. I've got the name that's above every name. He'll give you that revelation. But this is what I love here. In verse 17, and I already pointed that out, the Pharisees and the teachers were there. The power of God was there to heal them. Did they get healed? No, they didn't get healed. Who got healed? The guy they brought in paralyzed on the bed. Why didn't they get healed? I mean, if God's going to heal, why didn't he just go in the hospital and why didn't he just heal everybody? Well, verse 21 says, and the scribes and Pharisees began to reason. What did Jesus say? He said, why are you reasoning among yourselves? Do you understand what happened? They talked themselves out of receiving what God had for them. Reasoning. Well, I just don't see how that would work. I just don't understand. I just don't see. Well, I know God heals, but it just isn't working for me. I mean, reason. Do you understand? See, now don't get feeling guilty, because we're all in the same boat. Okay? But I don't know about you, I've made a decision with God to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Huh? I've made a decision, God, if you said it, I believe it's for me. And just because it's not manifested in my life yet, doesn't mean it's still not for me. And you don't think you need that now, but you wait till the heat's turned up. And the truth is, we let our minds talk us out of everything God has for us. Because I just don't see how. I just don't understand. I know there's a way, but I just don't understand. You don't have to understand. All you got to do is believe that God took care of it already and that Jesus already paid the price for it, and it'll start happening. They say, well, Hank, you're getting awful spooky here. I know, and it's going to get worse. Actually better, but see, everything that God says or does seems foreign or seems bad to the body, to the flesh, and to the unrenewed mind. Everything of God seems silly in the natural world, but I'm telling you what, God controls the natural world, and He's put us here, and He's given us power and dominion, and He wants to use us to change our world. We talk ourselves out of everything. And I had so much stuff. I'll just have to do some more of it next week. This, I thought I was going to do this little thing and it's going to last 1 week. And every time I get done, I just, a whole another room opens up. And I go, whoa, I didn't know this room was here. That's how God is. That's how He wants to be with you. Let me just say this. You don't just wake up one day and be hearing God. You wake up one day and be hearing things and maybe think they're God, but you don't just wake up one day and be hearing God. And I was going to add some scriptures for that. I'll work on that maybe next week. You say, well, how do I tell? Let me just say this. As you start being obedient to what He tells you, the voice will get louder. His voice will get more familiar to you. In John 10, he said, "My sheep know my voice." He said, "And I know them, and they follow me." What did He say in John 14:21? He said, if you'll hear my commandments, if you love me, you'll do my commandments. And if you let, then the Father will love you and I'll love you. And I didn't quote it exactly right there, but I'll manifest myself to you. Now you just can't convince me that He's telling me if I will listen to all 600 and some of those commandments and do them all, that He'll manifest Himself to me. That's hogwash. They couldn't do it then, and we can't do it now, but we got a Savior that did it all for us, and so we receive what He did and walk in Him, and we have it. But what I heard or what I believe out of this verse is he says, if you love me, you'll hear me. If you love me, you'll be with me. If you love me, you'll walk with me. You'll listen for me. I'll be able to communicate with you. I'll talk to you. And if you do what I say, I'll manifest myself to you. And the truth is, every one of us have some areas in our life we need Him to manifest. Our marriage, our health, our finances, our emotions. We need Him. We need Him. We need Him. He says, okay, Hank, listen to me. Listen to me. We want some, hey, Hank! This had to wake y'all up back there. I'm sorry. We want something like that, but he says, no. Hank, come follow me. What does that do? That makes me, I'm listening. I'm paying attention. God, I want you. I need you. I want to hear you. I got to have you. Does that make sense? And the voice gets lower, but you hear it more plain. And when you don't listen, when you don't do it, when you don't listen, the Bible calls, says your heart gets hard. What happens is you get dull. You get dull to Him talking. I used to say, if you don't listen, if you quit, if you don't do what He says, He'll quit telling you. But you know, that's not the truth. Because my God loves me so much, He's always there. He said, I'm sending the Holy Spirit to live in you. He'll never leave you. He's always in there, and He's always talking to me, and He's always trying to get me. And even when I'm not listening, and even when I'm not doing, He's still in there saying, I love you. I love you. You're the one I love. You're the one I paid a price for. You're the one I gave my life for. You're the one I want to help. You're the one I want. I came after you. But you start hearing, you start, when you start doing what you hear, the voice gets louder. Well, anyway, is anything any clearer than it was? I hope it's not muddier than it was. But if you, you ought to try to get one of those sheets there. And I don't know how many's there, but if there's not, if we use them all up, we still can get you one. Hey, God loves you. And He only has good things for you. And sometimes we're afraid to listen because we're afraid He's going to tell us something we don't want to hear. But what if He wants to tell you something you need? Don't step over there. The car's going to hit you. Don't do that. You'll have 60 months of easy payments and they won't be easy. Don't do that. It will physically hurt if you do that. Well, I'm just going to let it feel perfect. Go ahead. You'll break all the china in the china closet too. But it really doesn't matter. Even if you have done that, God loves you. And He's always there to pick up the pieces. So if you're like me and you've miserably failed and you've miserably done everything wrong that you think you have anyway, don't worry, He's still there leading and guiding you. Just say, Father, I just... And I had to say when I thought about all this, everybody stand, we're done. I had to say, God, I don't know if I'm doing everything right or if I'm doing everything wrong. Matter of fact, I don't know if I'm doing anything right or if I'm doing anything wrong. I just need You to lead me and guide me. Okay, everybody say something with me. Father, fill me with Your Spirit. Everybody say something with me. Father, fill me with Your Spirit. You need to be filled with the Spirit. Say that every week, every day this week, and see what God does in your life. He'll do something special for you, just for you. Say, God, fill me with Your Spirit. I need to be filled with Your Spirit. Say it every day. Every day. Everybody say something else with me. If you're here and you don't know for sure you're saved, say this with me. Father, I want to be saved. Jesus, help me live for You. I give You my life. Thanks for saving me. That's how simple it is. I'm going to dismiss you. If that's your prayer, if you prayed that or you want to pray that, come down. Some of us are down here. We'll pray with you. As a matter of fact, if you have anything you'd like for us to agree with you about and pray with you about, we'll be happy to do that. We've got some prayer partners down here that'll pray with you, okay? And we'll put the devil to running. How many's had enough of him? Say, God, I want to hear You. And it doesn't matter where you are or what you're in. If you'll hear Him, He can lead you right where you're supposed to be. Hey, I love you. Thank you for being here today. If you need us to pray with you, come down. Let us pray with you. If you need to be baptized, we'll baptize you. Whatever you need, we'll anoint you with oil, whatever you need. But come on down. But I speak His blessings into you, and I believe you to be blessed today and blessed this week. And I believe everything you do, God's hand to be on it and His favor to be in your life. So everybody say praise the Lord. Tell somebody hi and hug their neck, shake their hand, and see you next time. If you're a first time attender, I'd love to shake your hand, give you some information about the church.